So I want to talk a little bit more about you and your family, because you obviously talked about your fishing experience as a child.
Yeah.
You've got a couple of boys, right?
Yep.
So for you personally, like, it's how important is fishing in your personal life, or do you get enough fish in your job that it's like you don't like you go home, you're like, I really don't want to go touch fish again.
I mean, it's probably the same old story for most of us as fisheries professionals, but I'd love to fish. I always have. That was, you know, fishing and sports. If it was my summertime coming up and I was 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, I was on a bike and I always had a fishing pole or, you know, going to the baseball field, stuff like that. So fortunately grew up in Stevens Point where there was opportunities to get to do that. And my dad was an angler. His friends were anglers. I'd get to go along with them. And so it just kind of became an identity at that point. And as it continued on through school and with that passion, it's, you know, how neat would it be to work with fish and understand everything I could about fish. And that just kind of led through the schooling progression for me to be, you know, in the position that I'm in now, where fish are my life as far as work. You know, as far as fishing itself, it's still my passion. I would say that there's just times where I don't like to fish as hard. I put it that way, where I always want to go fishing. I'll go fishing at every opportunity I get. There's just sometimes I don't want to work as hard at it and just kind of go out there and enjoy it, especially in the springtime like this, where we're out on the water every single day. We're working with hundreds of fish every day. And a lot of people go, gosh, it'd be the last thing on earth I want to do is go fishing and play with more fish. So I always enjoy it. Like I said, sometimes I don't want to work as hard at it.
So when your boys were little, or like, were they, did you see the same thing, or that's like they followed you around and so fishing became part of their lives?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's basically how it works in a lot of cases. And so they've been out in the boat with me since, you know, they were wearing their water wings and with their Snoopy rods and everything like that. And, you know, with kids, you start that progression. It's catch rates first, right? It's making sure that there's action. They're not going to sit for 8 hours a day, you know, jigging a jig and minnow and not catching a fish or a walleye all day long. So, you know, it's getting that engagement there of catch rates. And then now, you know, as they progress, they love to fish. They love to ice fish too. It's, hey, Dad, what are we doing on the weekend? We want to go ice fishing? Yeah, let's go this way. What do you want to do? Do you want to jig or do you want to go tip-up fishing? Oh, I just want to watch tip-ups today. It becomes just like for so many other people. Their friends start coming along and we start taking their friends with. And it's awesome to watch kids running around chasing tip-ups, and they're at an age where they're tackling each other on the way and stuff. So it becomes social and it also becomes a part of their identities. And now they're hitting a stage too where they're starting to buy specialized gear. I want a bass rod because smallmouth time is coming up. I need an ultralight because crappie time is coming up. And so it's fun. They learn about that whole progression just kind of through osmosis and the interests that I have in taking them out. They're also really fortunate too with the agency. Like, they come to work with me sometimes. They've been out picking fike nets and they're working up fish, and they're hand in hand with the students and technicians that we work with in getting that. So whether they become fisheries professionals or not is not a big deal to me. I want them to be happy and to do what they want. But if they decide that this is a career path that they want to do, that's fantastic as well.
But that's part of like why we're doing this story. It's like you talk about your grandfather all the way down through the line. Like, this is a cultural thing that is transmitted generation to generation.
Yeah. And there's so many benefits to fishing, and it's not just, you know, harvest opportunity, but there's been many studies about this, of all the different reasons that people go fishing. And it can be just because I want to spend time with family and friends, and that's something that they enjoy. It can be, it's just really relaxing to be on the water and to be out on a beautiful lake, you know, trees and wildlife and everything like that. And then also the other end of the spectrum is like, I'm going out on the water and I want to catch as many fish as I possibly can, because I'm really driven by that utility or that satisfaction that angling gives me. Even for myself, there's times like just, it's a stress reliever. I'll go fishing sometimes just because work's been hard, a lot of long hours. I don't care if I catch anything. Casting is therapeutic to me. I'm just going to go cast, and if I catch a fish, that's a bonus. So there's all those things that come into play. It's not just harvest and catch rates. There's a lot of therapeutic, relaxing, good qualities that go along with fishing.
How does fishing play into relationships, especially with spouses or partners or boyfriends, girlfriends, that kind of thing. Because obviously there's a lot of jokes about, you know, married to the boat, or you got your fishing license before your marriage license. And
yeah, I think it works in all different ways. I mean, I know there's certainly relationships where I know many women anglers that are as hardcore or harder core than any male angler that I could ever tell you, and certainly very passionate about it. Again, there's other situations where it's time spent together, right? And so if your partner really, really enjoys fishing and you enjoy fishing a little bit too, but it's really nice to read a book and sit in the back of the boat or dip your feet in the water, you know, however that might work, that's good too. So again, it's an activity that brings people together. And when it comes to relationships like that, I think it can work in all different ways too. It might be that someone's never angled before and your partner really likes the angling. So it becomes a new experience. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't. But I think it brings people together.
So one more question on the research that I've been meaning to ask is, I'm trying to get an estimate of how many studies on walleye are active at any point in time. And I know you're one component, because there's UW Stevens Point and their aquaculture center, and I think obviously UW limnology, and there's I'm trying to get an idea of how many studies are going on, how much money is devoted to this, and if there is there any other species of animal in Wisconsin that has this much funding and number of studies looking at it.
You know, I could figure out ballpark figures for the amount of funding, the number of studies for all the groups that you just mentioned, but you've hit on a lot of the key ones. So, you know, DNR, Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, several of our universities within the state of Wisconsin, our federal co-op unit at Stevens Point, engaged in a lot of walleye research, the Climate Adaptation Science Centers, that we work with our USGS folks. And it's not just Wisconsin, though, this is broader regionally too, and sometimes with our collaborators in Canada too. So, you know, I would just say from Wisconsin's perspective, I know this, that most of our studies are devoted towards walleye right now because these natural recruitment declines, the popularity of the recreational fishery, and the importance of the joint in the tribal subsistence fishery. We certainly are studying all kinds of different things too, but there's a lot of attention being paid to walleye right now. And, you know, to translate that over to wildlife, you know, maybe deer would be, you know, we invest a lot of research into deer. It's probably,
especially with CWD, maybe
CWD, but it's kind of the walleye, or the wildlife walleye of Wisconsin, right? Deer are kind of king, walleye can be are kind of king for the fish side of things.
And those, I mean, and those, yeah, those make the largest group of people that are spending the most amount of money, paying the most attention to how many they see or catch. And
I mean, another way to look at it too is it's, you know, probably the sport fish in Wisconsin that's being most challenged right now. It could be very different if muskie were showing similar patterns, or trout populations. And we do a lot of trout research too, and they're going to be challenged by climate change and brook trout reserves now. And some of our scientists have done a lot of work there. But there's a lot of attention on walleye because of the patterns we've seen over time and the importance of the fishery.
Just imagine if you're driving down the highway and the walleye jumped out and hit your car.
Yeah.
That'd be nice, right?
Yeah. Walleye's falling out of the sky. Yeah.
All right. Anything else that you want to add? I know we covered a lot of territory here. Anything else that you think we're missing?
No, I mean, it was pretty wide-ranging, so.
All right. Yeah. Can I get you to say and spell your name and give your title, just so I have it correct on the camera?
Sure. Greg G. Sass, G-R-E-G, G period, S-A-S-S, and Fisheries Research Team Leader in the Office of Applied Science with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources.
Great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I know that was a long time, but hopefully it covered things that were interesting to you too.
No, I mean, I enjoy the conversations, and you know, if this comes together, I think